Welcome to Ronnie Phillips Podcast. This message is made possible by the partners of Abba's House Media. Help us continue to share this message around the world about how to live free and fully alive. Visit abbashouse.com/partner to learn more. And before you leave, be sure and subscribe to Pastor Ronnie's YouTube channel. Now, here's Pastor Ronnie Phillips.
All right, let's get into God's Word. Turn with me this morning to 2 Samuel chapter 12. I didn't get to finish my message last week because God finished it. God shouted yes after Julie Watson's testimony. So I felt like I needed to land last week talking about Samuel and Elkanah and Peninnah and how God gave Hannah a child. And so I want to give you some review this morning, and then we're going to get in to the second half of what God has given us for today. But first, this passage of Scripture. Then the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him and he said to him, "There were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except one little old lamb which he had bought and nourished, and it grew up together with him and his children. It ate of his own food and drank from his own cup and lay in his bosom, and it was like a daughter to him. And a traveler came to the rich man who refused to take from his own flock and from his own herd to prepare one for the wayfaring man who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him." So David's anger was greatly aroused against the man, and he said to Nathan, "As the Lord lives, the man who has done this shall surely die, and he shall restore fourfold for the lamb because he did this thing and because he had no pity." Then Nathan said to David, "You are the man." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I ask you to anoint this word today. Lord, we need your grace. We need your mercy. And Lord, we need your yes this morning. Lord, we're so grateful for the times when you've said yes. So Lord, I ask you to use this word today to challenge, to convict, to correct, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, we need your comforter today to heal us and to use us. Father God, I pray this message would be used to bring about a yes in the atmosphere. For thine is your kingdom, your power, and your glory forever and ever. Amen. The voice of God leaves a lasting impression on someone's soul. Once you've heard it, as I've said many times, your life will never be the same. It's important to hear the pastor's voice, and it's important to hear the life group leader's voice, and it's important to hear anointed voices on Christian television or on Christian internet. But I tell you, the most important voice you'll ever hear is the voice of the Lord. You need His voice this morning more than my voice. You need to hear from God about decisions that you have in front of you, opportunities that you have in front of you. If you are hearing from God, you will notice people who need Him. And you'll have the right words to speak into them in a specific and a strategic time. And God will use you for His glory. I love what it says in Hebrews. It says that God speaks to His people as the general assembly with angels nearby. And He releases a new covenant of grace that's better than the blood of Abel. And it says to us, "See to it that you do not refuse Him who speaks." He's speaking to us this morning. As I said last week, some review. Number one, God says yes when we are in alignment with Him. In other words, He says yes when we say yes. Somebody shout yes. Yes. Whatever you request along the lines of who God is, that's what He will do. Number two, from last week, God says yes when we are in love with Him, when we have intimacy with Him. He says yes to His children. He gives good gifts to His children. The Bible says He wants to give you a yes this morning. Acceptance is salvation. Alignment is motivation. Agreement is determination. Access is sanctification. Number three, and we camped here a good bit last week, God says yes when we are desperate for destiny. We talked about Hannah and her prayer to commit that child to God and His kingdom. In fact, she said, "O Lord of hosts, if you'll indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head." Later in verse 17, Eli, the priest, would answer and say, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked of him." So this morning we're going to continue to celebrate the fact that God says yes. Before we begin, I want to talk to you about three kinds of people. And if you're being honest with yourself, we can all fit into this category in one way or the other. At some point in your life, you've been one of these three things. The first is a lawmaker. Everybody say lawmaker. Lawmakers are leaders, and they have more power than everyone else. They have a tremendous amount of pressure on them, those that make laws. They are either loved or hated. Even if they have the majority, they are hated by another majority. They have a tremendous amount of pressure on them in the area of leadership. There's rarely any in between. Lawmakers can make a huge difference or a catastrophic mess, depending on the situation and depending on their motivation. Lawmakers. Then there are lawbreakers. Lawbreakers are sinners, people that have gone their own way, wilderness people, people that have chosen the path of wild living. Lawbreakers. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." So if you're being honest with yourself this morning, you've been or are functioning as a lawmaker or as a lawbreaker this morning. You're functioning as one of the two. And if you're not honest about where you are in this journey, God can't give you the yes that you so desperately need. Lawmakers and lawbreakers, and then there are lobbyists. Lobbyists. Now, the definition of a lobbyist is a person who takes part in an organized attempt to influence others. In the area of politics, it'd be legislators. But a lobbyist is someone who plays both sides of the fence, who manipulates both sides for their own personal agenda. Now, all of these kinds of people can be successful in this world system. But in the kingdom of God, if not governed by the Holy Spirit, if not called of God, these people can be very dangerous inside the walls of the church. Do I have anybody this morning? Lawmakers, lawbreakers, and lobbyists. A lobbyist always has a personal agenda. A lobbyist can listen to two different people in two different places that disagree, and they can leave the individual meeting making each individual feel like they agree with them. Why? Because they could care less about either agenda because they have their own. And in church, lobbyists can be very dangerous because lobbyists will never take a stand for righteousness. Lobbyists will not have your back. Ooh, I'm preaching this morning. Lobbyists will not have your back during times of extreme difficulty. Lobbyists will never stand beside anyone. They're always behind, undercurrent, doing things and saying things for their own agenda. Now, you can be a lobbyist in this world system for right kinds of things, and that's okay. I'm talking about the kingdom of God. Lobbyists can be very dangerous and disruptive in the kingdom of God. Now, I must tell you that King David functioned in his life as a lawmaker, a lawbreaker, and a lobbyist. And he was a man after God's own heart. He functioned in his life as a lawmaker, a king, someone chosen by God, someone that had great conquest from the time he was a young lad. He made laws. He renewed worship to Jehovah in Israel, the greatest king of all times. He was a person of great importance, with great respect. He was a lawmaker. Oh, but in this text, he's a lawbreaker. His soldiers are all fighting, and he stays home. And let me tell you, in the war we are in the kingdom of God, the worst thing you can do is stay home. Stay out of the ring. Stay out of the conversation. Stay out of the fight. Quit on your church. Quit on your family. Quit on your friends. In this strategic season we are in, the worst thing you can do is stay home. We need you in the fight, in the race, and in the field. But he stayed home. And while his men were fighting and giving their lives for the greater good, he overlooks a balcony, and I've stood on that same balcony in Israel. But he's overlooking and he sees a good-looking lady named Bathsheba. Just so happened she was bathing. And his look turned into lust, and his lust grew legs. And he calls for this woman. He has his servants go get this woman. And the servants even questioned and said, "Isn't this Uriah the Hittite's wife, your friend, your most loyal friend and soldier's wife?" And it didn't matter to David. He was a lawmaker, but he was a lawbreaker in the eyes of God. And he has relations with this woman, and she becomes pregnant. And just like so many of us do when we sin, we lie to cover up our last lie, we manipulate, and we lobby to keep ourselves out of trouble and out of the line of fire. And we cover up, and we cover up, and before too long, all of his attempts to get out of this mess he was in failed. First, he tried to bring Uriah the Hittite, his most loyal friend and soldier, out of the battle and send him home so he would have relations with his wife. And so at least Uriah wouldn't know what kind of man David was, and he would think that that was his child. Didn't work. Uriah was too loyal of a friend and soldier, wouldn't even go into his house because his men were on the field fighting. He had too much integrity and too much valor and too much honor. So then he tries to get him drunk. Says, "I'm going to get him drunk and then he'll for sure go lay with his wife." Well, that getting him drunk won't work. Nothing works. And so in a final attempt, he sends letter by the way of his servant. And Uriah is such a man of integrity, he wouldn't dare look at this letter before it got to the general, and says, "Put him on the front lines and make sure he's dead." And that's precisely what happens. A lawbreaker, a lawmaker, and a lobbyist that ended in ruin. And the text I read to you, it took a mighty prophet, Nathan, to use a parable about a sheep to confront sin. To confront sin. See, I believe God's speaking to us this morning. Whether you're a lawmaker, a lawbreaker, or a lobbyist, your focus needs to be the Lord. See, He is above all and He is in all. Whatever category you're in this morning, your eyes need to be fixed on Jesus. And if you need a yes, you better make sure you get to a place of repentance this morning. Because I'm telling you, yes, He releases a yes when we are in alignment with Him and when we are in love with Him and when we are desperate for destiny. But He also releases a yes to ensure a victory over the enemy. The Bible teaches us that God answers by fire. Remember the prophet Elijah? Ahab gets all the false prophets of Baal, and they get up there on Mount Carmel. And Elijah, I view this thing, I see Elijah in a hammock. They may not even had hammocks that back then. But all these false prophets from the world are talking about their false God, and they've got him outnumbered, and they put the sacrifice on the altars. They put two different sacrifices. And he said, "Whichever one answers by fire, we'll know that's the true God. That's Jehovah." Well, they're dancing and they're doing all their worldly stuff, and Elijah's just chilling, man. He's making fun of them. Sing some more, dance some more, pray some more. And then the fire of God comes down and answers this mighty prophet of God who stood for righteousness and who stood against evil. Let me tell you, God gives us a yes to ensure a victory over the enemy. So you've got to figure out, lawmakers, lawbreakers, and lobbyists, which side you're fighting on this morning. Because if you keep losing, you might be fighting for the wrong team. If you're fighting on God's team, and you're in alignment with Him, and you're in love with Him, there's a yes coming your way. You may not have the yes this morning, but it's coming, amen? Because our God is undefeated. He is unconquered. He is a winner, and He makes us winners. He's not a loser. So if you're in Him, and He in you, and you keep losing, you've got to get some things right in your life. I believe God wants to give you a yes. But He'll give you the yes only if you're fighting on His team. How do you know if you're on God's team? Are you saying what God says? Are you loving like God loves? Are you doing what God called us to do? Are you lobbying or are you living for Him? He doesn't need a lobbyist. He needs people that will lay down their lives for Him and answer the call that comes from that other dimension. Number two, God says yes when we have completely blown it and need forgiveness. God says yes when we have completely blown it and need forgiveness. The problem with some religious people is that they feel that they have never blown it. If you need some help finding out where you fall short, just make an appointment with me. I have a gift in pointing out faults in religious people. 37 years in ministry, I can find something. I've been picked on by enough religious people, I've learned how to find their sin and fault. And I'm telling you, the reason some of you aren't getting a yes is because you don't feel like you've ever been in a position to truly need God's grace. But the reality is, you need it every day just as much as I do. God says yes when we have completely blown it and need forgiveness. Psalms 51. I told you the story of King David, but I didn't tell you about the desperation for a yes. It can be found in Psalm 51. It says, "Have mercy on me, O God." Now notice it didn't say, "O God, have mercy on me." It said, "Have mercy on me, O God." It's an interesting verse there because most of the time you would address God before you ask Him for something, but sin separates you from God. So you need mercy before you can even get to God. And some of you are going to God and you haven't even sought after a yes for the mercy that you need yet. "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness," Hebrew word there, hesed, powerful word found in the story of Mephibosheth, who was living in Lodabar and was called to eat at King David's table by the grace of God. It is unmerited, undeserved favor. It is the Hebrew word for grace, but it goes far beyond grace. It's loving kindness. It's doing what's right no matter the cost. It's showing grace, loving people where they are. It is going above and beyond like Jesus went above and beyond for you. That is what David is after. "According to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin." If you've never prayed a prayer like that, that may be the reason why you haven't received your yes. If you want to receive a yes, you've got to be forgiven. You've got to be cleansed. You've got to be washed thoroughly. And this lawmaker, lawbreaker, and lobbyist knew that even he was not above needing the forgiveness of Almighty God. He needed grace. He needed forgiveness. He needed his soul to to be restored and renewed so that he could continue to do what God had called and ordained him to do from birth. He was a man after God's own heart, but he had blown it. It says, "For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned." You see, it's easy to get focused on who we've hurt, what we've done, and how what we've done has affected so many other things in our lives. But if you're going to be forgiven, your focus must be vertical, not horizontal. You cannot fix your marriage, your relationships, your finances if you first haven't looked vertically to God and gotten things right with Him. You must get things right with God. "Against you only I have sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity," so true, "and in sin my mother conceived me," true. "You desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all of my iniquities." Many of you know I like to teach on sins, transgressions, iniquity, rebellion, all of those things, and break those things down. And I had a post this past week about cleaning up the kingdom of God from pedophiles, which is not a sexual orientation, it's wickedness, is what it is. Little did I know that post would start all these different kinds of arguments. But the reality is, we are all sinners. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God, but there are different levels of sin. Sin means to miss the mark, and everybody in here misses the mark, including the guy preaching this message. But rebellion means you've rebelled against the things of God. You've broken His laws. Trespass means you've crossed a line God never intended you to cross. But if you get to iniquity, that means you are twisted, warped, and crooked. That means you've missed the mark to the degree you've trespassed, you've transgressed, you've broken God's heart, and now you're in the midst of iniquity. And don't tell me that people that hurt other children are victims, friend. They are eaten up with iniquity. Bad things may have happened to them, but that is no excuse to take their bad experience and put it onto a child. It's terrible. And it's not just a Catholic thing, it's a kingdom thing. There are sickos in every religion, and they need Jesus. And they need a yes, but they've got to call on the name that is above every name, and they've got to acknowledge their past and the things that they've done. Just like David when he committed sexual sin. He is crying out to be forgiven, and it says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me." I can understand this being a leader and being a preacher of the gospel. There's a lot of things God could do to me, but there's one thing I wouldn't want Him to take, and that's the Holy Spirit from me. And David understood that because he understood alignment. He understood what it meant to be in love with God. He understood what it meant to be desperate for destiny. David was a product of all these things. He came from nothing but was called by God. And he knew he was only where he was in life because of the anointing. Because God chose him, adopted him, called him, anointed him to be what He'd called him to be. You don't want to lose the Holy Spirit, and if you haven't received your yes, maybe it's because you don't have the Holy Spirit with you. Just ask God to create in you a clean heart, renew a right spirit within you, and restore to you the joy of your salvation, man. This is supposed to be fun, this Christian life. It's not supposed to be miserable. Religion has made it miserable for some, but it is supposed to be a joyful life. Doesn't mean you're going to be happy all the time like some fool, but it means you'll have inward contentment and peace and the joy of the Holy Ghost. Some of you need joy in your life. Shout yes. I mean, shout it till you laugh like an idiot. Yes. I mean, some of you just need to turn your frown upside down this morning. You need joy in your life. You need God to restore to you the joy of your salvation. People ask me all the time, you know, why I hang out with the people I hang out with. Listen, if you make me laugh, we're friends. We're friends. Jim Biggs makes me laugh. He makes me laugh. That's why I keep him around. I love that he loves the homeless. I love that he loves this church. I love that he's a good pastor. I keep him around because he makes me laugh. He makes me laugh. We'll go preach a revival. I can't even say this. I'll get him in trouble. I'll preach. I'll be praying, snotting, crying for people. We'll walk out. He'll say, man, you kick butt. I'm like, all right. He just makes me laugh. Man, I like people that bring me joy. You know, I don't want somebody with their collar up all the time. And I don't want to talk about church all the time. I love it. I love it. I'm called to it. Sometimes I want to talk about football. Sometimes I want to talk about your life, what God's doing with your kids. I don't always want to talk about church drama. Y'all understand, I've been in church drama since the day I was born. I need a break sometimes. I need some joy sometimes. Amen. I want to be around people that make me laugh. You need to be around people that make you laugh. Come around me, I'll make you laugh. If you catch me on the right day, all right? You may not call me pastor after that, but I'll make you laugh, okay? I can tell some stories. Ask Pastor Ken. I told a few on my dad's birthday, and Ken's still laughing about some of those from my childhood. I made fun of my mom, okay? Listen, you need to have some joy in your life. Our church needs to be known as not only a place of grace, but a place of joy. People come in here and they feel the presence of God. We need a yes. We need a yes. When David cries out to God here in Psalm 51, it is a genuine prayer. I almost feel guilty even preaching to you about it. I don't even know why they even included it in the Bible, because it is so private and so intimate and so embarrassing for such a mighty man. And I believe it was included in the canon of Scripture so that we could identify with the failures of a great man. But not just that we would identify with it, that we would come to a place of forgiveness and grace and of mercy, so that we would know, no matter what we've done, where we've been, how bad we've blown it, God has a yes for us. God has a yes for us. God has a yes for you this morning if you don't know Him. He has a yes for you. You've been told no your whole life. Your whole life. And there's a God in heaven that's shouting yes over you. Yes, your dreams can come true. Yes, you can start a business. Yes, He'll forgive you. Yes, He'll give you a new start. Yes, He'll prosper you. Yes, He'll heal you. Hallelujah. He is the God of yes. My mother-in-law tells a story. You know, Kelly and I started out, we didn't have anything really. We were broke. We were kids trying to raise Trey. And I've been blessed with my mother and my mother-in-law. They're just phenomenal grandmothers, and they help us tremendously. And my mother-in-law, she would help us with Trey all the time. He's 17 now, but he was, you know, 1 to 2 years old. And, you know, like I said, we didn't have much. And my mother-in-law was at the gas station one night, and she had Trey. And Trey looked like a Jenny Jones baby. He was the fattest baby ever, okay? He's handsome now, and long hair looks like Fabio. But Kelly was a fat baby too. It's like her family. They're Yugoslavians. I guess they just, Yugoslavians are fat babies. I don't know. But all her family grew up to be skinny. I was skinny and grew up to be fat. So who knows how that happened. But Trey was massive. He was like half the size of my mother-in-law. Some of you that remembers here, y'all remember how big he was. I mean, he was just massive. And so my mother-in-law's carrying him in. She's buying some milk and some things, coming home from work or whatever. And Trey saw this bear. Some cheapo bear, you know, gas station bear type thing. He wanted it, I guess. And Nana said, "Trey, do you want that bear?" And I guess because he'd heard us say no so many times, he said, "Him no need that bear." And that's all it took. My mother-in-law went and loaded them groceries in the car, went and bought that baby a bear. And she still tells that story to this day. But some of you grew up here and know about everything. Maybe even in the name of religion, maybe you had strict parents. But I'm telling you, God says yes. I close here because of the week we've had. God says yes in eternity to those who know him. Revelation chapter 14, verse 13. "Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, 'Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on.' Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them." Blessed Barak means covered. Blessed beyond measure. The Lord says, for those of you lobbyists, lawmakers, and lawbreakers that made a decision here on this earth to follow the Lord, and you accepted Jesus, you serve him, for some of you, when you get to heaven, the Spirit's going to go, "Yes!" Some of you may be like, "Phew, you barely got in." No, I'm just kidding. But I believe with all my heart that if you'll quit focusing on being a lawbreaker, a lawmaker, a lobbyist, and you'll accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, when you get to heaven, like so many this past week, the Spirit will shout yes. And your legacy will live on in this church, in this community, in this world, because you served God faithfully. You stood for what was right. You paid the price. You persevered. And when you blew it, you confessed it and you were honest about it and you allowed God to renew you and create in you a clean heart. I believe with all my heart that God shouts yes to his children. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want God to shout yes and your works to follow you. But the only way that can happen is for you to confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The Bible says if you'll confess him with your mouth and believe him with your heart, you will be saved. What does it mean to be saved? It means to be forgiven. It means to receive a yes from heaven. It means you just accept God for who he is and what he did, and you confess it. I want to lead you in a prayer. It's not the words of the prayer or the ritualistic way we do the prayer. It is the nature of your heart. And if you're in sin like King David, and you're a lawbreaker, and you've broken some laws, God's laws, not man-made laws, God's laws, and you know that you're not at peace with God, and that you've been separated from God, but you want to be restored to God, just pray this prayer with me. Just say, "Dear Lord Jesus, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Lord, please come into my heart and save me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and use me for your glory. And use me for your glory." With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you prayed that prayer in just a minute, I want you to run to one of these pastors. There are going to be pastors. I'm going to ask the pastors to go ahead and get in place. But with every head bowed and every eye closed, you prayed that prayer, you ought to run to one of us and say, "Look, I renewed my commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. I rededicated my life. I'm coming to the Lord today." Some of you, you're already saved, but you've been living as a lobbyist. A relationship with God and his church is really more about you than it is him. And you, just like David, need to repent today. Because this isn't about you, and it's certainly not about me. It's about him. And if you've been living as a lobbyist, you need forgiveness. You need a new start today. Or maybe you're a lawmaker. Maybe you're a leader, a business leader. Maybe you're leading a family. Maybe you're leading a home as a single mother, whatever it may be. You're a leader. and you got a tremendous amount of pressure on you, and you're saying, Lord, I don't even know if I can do this anymore. I need the spirit that was on David to come on me so that I can persevere and do what you've called me to do. Lord, I can't do this. I need your help. We're going to pray that the power of the Holy Spirit will come on you and give you strength to live another day, to fight another fight, to keep doing what you're doing. I don't know what category you're in, but I know that he is Lord over it all. And we're going to release him into your life today. Some of you don't have a church home. You need one. We want to be your church home. God's calling you here. Quit running from him. Quit lobbying between two opinions. Come get in covenant with a house of grace today. Would you stand on your feet? Heavenly Father, we worship you. We love you. We adore you. Lord, we thank you for your joy. Lord, I ask you to renew a right spirit within your people today. Fill them. Use them. Touch them. Lord, if they need forgiveness, give them a yes. Lord, if they need a blessing, give them a yes. If they need healing, give them a yes. If they need power, give them a yes. Lord, if they need a touch, if they need a church home, shout yes, Lord. Give them a yes, Lord. Give them a yes. Hallelujah.
Thanks for joining us today for Pastor Ronnie's message. Connect with us at abbashouse.com or ronniephillips.org. We hope this message has been a blessing to you. If it has, please subscribe to our podcast. You can invest in helping others live free and fully alive by giving at abbashouse.com/give. Thanks for listening.